What's up, guys? Welcome to Rice and Beans. Big O and Jester are back in the house. Woo! Tonight is
motherfucker.
Tonight is gonna be fucking fun. We are not gonna give a fuck even more because of who the spotlight comedian is. Get ready to hear it like it is. Spotlight comedian tonight is Ralphie May.
Tons of fun, baby.
Fuck yeah, the fat bastard of comedy.
He'll just keep rolling down the hill and taking every goddamn person skiing down there too.
Man, he was a funny motherfucker. I will say that. And I think having lived with fucking Mexicans in like fucking the middle of a neighborhood of all black people, like, probably influences comedy somewhat. So
yeah, I mean,
it was funny as fuck growing up where I lived. I mean, like, to see some of that stupid shit. And so hearing the stuff that he was talking about in his comedy was just like, yep, I remember that.
You know, some of the Twitter handles that went out for, remembering Ralphie May, you know, being in life and then also dying, that fat bastard, were posted. And some of the good stuff we got to share with you, such as Ralphie May, 1972 to 2017, which ironically was also the blood pressure.
That's brutal. That's fucking brutal. Nice.
Yeah.
I like it. How many forklifts do you think it took to fucking carry his casket to the gravesite? Like, that was a big fucker. Holy shit.
It is fucking Old Blue, that fucking huge crane that they ship across the U.S. for building fucking towers.
Can you imagine having to bury somebody that big? It's just like, oh, get the fucking forklift. He'll understand. Like, I'm grieving, motherfucker. Don't ask me to work.
Well, they didn't bury him. You know, generously, he willed his body to a poor family so they can use his body to burn and heat the house for 3 years. That's a lot of fat.
Oh, they fucked with the stock market when he died. You know that for sure.
Oh, God, man. As soon as he died in 2017, fucking McDonald's lost about 100 points on the stock market. Yeah, another Twitter reply, you know, to his death was RIP, Ralphie, just like you did every goddamn shirt you put on.
Oh, my God. That was fucking good. Holy shit. When I die, I want people to write shit like that about me. So you guys out there listening, like, fucking bring it. When I die, like, fucking, and the news goes out, fucking let them fly.
Spicacades. Over here in Arizona, on our local radio station, 97.9, there the morning host was friends with Ralphie May. And so he would come on during his life and talk about some of the stuff he was doing and whatnot. And some of the shit that guy did, he was so fat, he would have his wife at the time wipe his ass with towels because he couldn't reach back there and he couldn't mend the fence, so to speak, and straddle it and wipe. Yeah. Big old boy, man.
Get a bidet, fucker. You have money. You know what I mean? Like, just why? Why bother if you're that big? Just get a bidet. You know you need one. Stinky motherfucker. And he had the nerve to fucking say somebody else was smelly when he was on fucking Roast Battle with Jeff Ross. He went up against like this fucking Canadian dude, the one that ended up winning. And he was like saying about how bad he smelled and this and that. And I was like, he's like, you stinky motherfucker. And then he took out a fucking can of Febreze and started spraying it on the stage. And I was like, the balls on this fucking guy, you know, he can't reach all the fucking way around. You know, his ass smells like shit from like fucking 9 a.m. to fucking whenever he takes a shower.
What do you mean the balls on that guy? He hasn't seen his balls since he was like two. So, yeah, when I was going to school out here, we had this big guy, and he was more round as you faced him. Width-wise, he was almost thin, But if you looked at him, he was round. It was weirdest setup I ever saw. But, you know, at some point I found myself being rude, and I didn't want to be rude to this guy because he was actually a nice guy. So I just went up to him like a child would ask, you know, why is that guy black over there? You know, I asked him, well, do you wash? He goes, yeah, I bathe daily. He goes, why? I go, because you smell like whitefish. He laughed his ass off. He goes, you know what? Well, I appreciate you talking to me about this. Are there going to be any more jokes? I'm like, nah, nah. It was just that. Now that I know that you bathe every day, I'm not so, you know, pungent of or working on the pungent of your smell. I'm okay with it. I understand what you're doing, and I won't ridicule for it. And he just laughed about it, and we had a good time, and we became good friends. But goddamn, Ralphie May probably smelled like a fucking whaler convention where they got a big old sperm whale, and they're getting that oil out for a fucking lant.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it sucks when you have to work with people like that. I've had to work with people like that, and like, you know, dude was big and he couldn't reach back all the way. And fuck, like by like 10 o'clock after the morning shit, it was like, yo, 6 feet away. that was the original 6 feet away. Like, get your stinky ass away from me for a second. Like, I need to breathe, motherfucker. Another dude that fucking, like, didn't wear deodorant until HR told him, yo, you got to start putting on deodorant before you come to the office. This fucker was, like, standing with his fucking arms up, like, on the cubicles, holding the fucking walls. And it was, like, fucking full blast right towards my fucking face. And I was, like, trying to be as polite as possible and like fucking not breathe and shit like that, but it was fucking brutal. It was like probably like one of the worst office experiences I've ever fucking had.
That's when you just turn and walk away every time he wants to talk. What the fuck is your problem, motherfucker?
And it was this fucking really weird white dude. He wasn't even Indian.
You know, I use that voice for that because I smelled a lot of rank motherfuckers, but I've smelled a lot of white people, Mexican, fat people smell just as rank.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking, I hate fucking funk at work, dude. There's no reason for it. Like, fucking Rygar don't cost that much. Keep it in the fucking, in the desk drawer like I did. Like, in case you get to the office and you forget, boom, there's the emergency deodorant. You know what I mean? Somebody like fucking, you know, somebody like fucking that's really getting on your nerves, like, yo, fucking you smell here, fucking take it.
Take a bath in your car.
Like, that's yours now. Like, I'll get another one. Like, 99 cent store, motherfucker, they don't cost that much. And it was rough. I was working help desk, so you're like close quarters, and it's like fucking like lean over to fucking help somebody in their cubicle, and they're stinking like ass, and it's like, bro, I don't want to help you. Like, you fucking smell. Like, like it's distracting me from fucking fixing the problem. So you're on your own. Just call me next time.
Got filet of fish stuck in your ass crack, and the tartar sauce ain't helping either.
And then, like, it didn't help. The armpit dude didn't help that he fucking chugged coffee, like, fucking 1 an hour. And I was like, so, like, fucking coffee and BO. So, like, you would go in his office, and it was, like, the worst fucking shit that, like, you were going to experience that day. Like, just that fucking smell as soon as you got to the door. And it was just, like, the Indian dudes reported him for smelling bad.
This motherfucker, he smells like shit, like coffee stains and shit.
Yeah, and the fucking, like, the janitors, like, the Mexican janitor fucking, like, that had to go and clean out his office every day. It was, like, bitching, too. You know, I know, sign up for these shit. He smells.
Did he have a clothespin?
He smells. He smells bad. You don't take shower.
I didn't jump the border to smell this shit.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, and he's all, he told me in Spanish, like, you know, like the HR lady understood Spanish too. So he, in Spanish, he says, if his office is like that, can you imagine what his house is like?
It smells as bad as a dead cat's under his fucking couch cushions.
Well, it's like that seated grandma's boy. You like fucking flip that motherfucker back and there's all those dead cats and dust underneath there.
Grandma's boy.
Oh man. So, you know, being with that Ralphie May is the spotlight comedian for the night, and in his comedy he didn't give a fuck. So You know, he would drop N-bombs when he felt appropriate. You know, I guess being
Whoa. Are we going into a subject here?
Yeah.
I got something to say.
We were.
We're going into a subject about N-bombs. We're going into racist shit, okay? I got something to say about this.
All right.
So, anybody catch the Grammys, everybody's throwing up a fucking turd bucket over the Bill Burr comment about, you know, getting the Latin award winner, rock award winner for female category wrong. So, Natalia Lafourcade is her name. Okay, and I can understand, you know, mispronounce it. I've mispronounced lots of
Mexican bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck? Why can't you be Bill Smith for once, right?
Those people are obnoxious. Why can't you just name your kids regular fucking names?
Right? So, you know, he apologizes. He knows he messed it up. You know, he accepts the award on her behalf. Well, you know, then you got these fucking Twitter trolls out there, you know, calling him out, saying shit like, you know, how hard is it to actually pronounce a name? Yeah, he probably could have talked to some people and learned
it's easier when it's not all fucked up and full of vowels.
Yeah, exactly. But he could have asked. Okay, we'll give him that much. He could have asked. But you know what? It's Bill Burr. He was a fucking, you know, Star Wars universe. Leave the fucker alone. He's a comedian and knows his shit. So don't poke a bear, right?
That was my housekeeper's name.
Oh, really? So then, you know, someone goes on Twitter calling him in one breath, as they say, you know, one word that they're going to be stipulating and calling him out is that a man made fun of a POC's name and, you know, is on a feminist rant and during the Grammys. Well, first of all, would you rather be called a POC or would you rather be called what you are? Mexican, black, white, Asian, Indian, whatever the case may be.
The POC is just like, just use the ethnic slur. It's okay. I know what you're saying.
Right. You're calling me a fucking person of color. What? I'm colorful? Okay. Sure. You're white. You have no color. Isn't that racist? For God's sakes, these people that are making labels and fucking deteriorating the society and splitting people apart, we're not fucking working for each other. We're working for the government when we do this kind of shit. We should all be working together and taking that span between us and taking it away so we're closer together and we all are one person. We're persons. We're people. We're fucking Americans, right?
They ought to call them the fucking P-Touch generation. This is like all they love fucking producing labels. It's got to be like, you know, label for everything. This has to be this. That has to be that. It's like fucking, when did the world get so fucking neurotic? Like, what the fuck, dude? Like,
I know. So how can Bill Burr be racist, though? His wife is black. How is it feminist?
I mean,
how is it a feminist deal? He mispronounced the name. Yeah, it was okay. A female's name.
I mean, the racist thing, like, I'm pretty sure he's still a little racist. But as far as, like the feminist thing, because he mispronounced the name, that to me didn't make any sense. Like, I really don't see how those two correlate. And so, like, if somebody out there can explain that shit to me, go ahead. But, like, fucking, I'm just really not getting how those two, it's like,
do you think Bill Burr, you know, on a role play thing, plays plantation owner slave with his wife? I'm just asking for a friend.
I would say yes, probably, like 100, like fucking shaking the magic eight ball, like fucking all signs point to yes.
Don't call me Bill, honey, call me Thomas Jefferson.
Hold this kite.
So, you know, you go on those fun facts and you think about all this crap and, you know, everybody's calling out feminism and racism and all this shit. Well, you know, when you're a child, you're not racist. You're taught to be racist. So if you teach racism, that's what they learn. But you know what? On that note, can't people learn not to be racist? Can't you learn to be a normal person? Can't, I'm sorry, as we've talked before in other episodes, be accepted and we move on? Which goes into the next point I have. You look at The Bachelor and what recently happened with that finagled crap piece of shit show. You got a black bachelor with all these ladies that are vying for his dick, is basically what it is. The last three that he chooses, he gives them dick. And then he makes his choice on who he wants after he checks the oil in every single oil pan.
he picked the best one in bed, fucking guarantee it. Like, if you were going to set yourself up, like, why would you set yourself up with somebody that wasn't, like, exceptional and you know you're going to like that shit for the long haul?
And so the one he picked was the one that went to the antebellum party in the South for college, at her college. And that's basically you dress up in Southern attire in the plantation days, and everyone's calling that racist and during the slavery. Okay, I see your point.
It happened.
It happened. I see your point. I could see how you make that correlation. Yes, the Confederate flag was made during slavery, but is it really about slavery? No, it's a fucking flag, okay? Get over your fucking self. It was just a party. She went out and she dressed like a Southern belle, and she had some drinks, and then she went home. So she apologized for it on the show and ends up railing the Bachelor and getting picked by the Bachelor, only to be followed up on the show afterwards. They broke up and him asking her about her ignorance, how long she's been ignorant, and if she's okay with her ignorance. Motherfucker, you accepted her apology on her behalf and you even defended her on the show earlier. So why are you calling her ignorant? Who's really ignorant?
Right.
So how is that not racist and feminist? Number one, it's reverse racism. And number two, you're railing three girls on the show. You're fucking outing a girl's body and basically taking advantage of the situation. That's feminism, you know, being feminist at its worst, you know, being a male chauvinist pig, you know. Not to say I wouldn't participate. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to call a spade a spade.
And here's the thing, like, we all participated, you know what I mean? Like, we all did that exact same shit. Maybe not that exact same shit, but something along those lines. It just wasn't on fucking TV, you know what I mean? Like, that everybody gets all fucking up in arms about, like, shows like that. And I'm like, yo, they're just basically filming a single person. Like, that's how a single person, like, lives. Like, fucking all fucking single people, like, fucking go on dates and fucking, like, date multiple people, some at the same time. You know what I mean? And it's just like, that happens 24 fucking 7, 365 days a year. But because, like, one person is on TV doing it, like, now you object? It's like, come on, get the fuck out of here. Like, yeah. that's what and it drives me crazy because, like, that is exactly what the fuck you're tuning in for. Like, you know what you're signing up for. Like, it, like, if you're going to fucking jump on, then, like, be on board. Like, don't like midship, like, try to jump out because, like, something that you heard offended you. Meanwhile, you were fine with everything else. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't work that way.
Sanford and Son on the show, you know, and Archie Bunker and all that shit. You can't have that kind of humor anymore. God sakes, man. It's all around us. We're living in real time and we can't speak of it because the woke personality, the PC environment and everything that's changed. Hell, we're going to Idiocracy and pretty soon we're going to be drinking Brondo for everything because it's got electrolytes.
Yeah, having fucking comedy like that would be harder, like, fucking harder than having black people pick anything. You know what I mean? Like,
fucking, I knew you were going to say cotton.
Our black midgets up on their tippy toes, fucking reaching up for the cotton. That was one of the ones I was fucking dying at when he was like, oh, okay, for some of you dumb motherfuckers out there, cotton is a very low growing plant. So, you know, the vision of a midget on his toes picking cotton is that much more humorous, you dumb son of a bitch.
Well, that was the love of Ralphie May. He didn't give a fuck. He didn't apologize. He said what he was going to say, and he just fucking let it out there. If you laughed, you laughed. If you didn't, well, you can wipe his big, filthy, fat ass. Which I wouldn't do.
Fuck no.
You know what? He didn't use a bidet. He used a fucking power washer.
Right? Every time he took his shit, he was waffle stuffing that motherfucker for sure. So one of the things that came up in his comedy that really made me laugh was just the everyday scenarios that, you know, like, it's really super relatable. And when he was talking about the evolution of Bush and throughout the years, and young dudes today don't, like,
that's relatable. That's what we're going with.
I mean, it was, yeah. Cause I remember the stages of Bush. I was like, I'm that old. Like, I remember, like, the first chick, yeah, Bush. And then, like, it's gradually started getting less and less and less. And then, like, college hit and, like, there was no more. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, that shit was, like, kind of annoying. Like, fucking, like, push your way through that shit to try to find the fucking pussy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a fucking... I wanted it to be enjoyable. Like, I don't want it to be a fucking workout. You know what I mean? Like, fucking trim it, motherfucker.
It's a good thing you said pussy, because everybody thought you were talking about Bush 1 and 2.
No, and then porn, too. Like, you go back and watch porn from, like, you know, like, was it, like, late 80s and then up through, like, fucking 95 and... You know, then it started getting nicer, and then all of a sudden, like, nothing, and now it's, like, starting to make a comeback, and I was
Well, you know what? I prefer a bald eagle. I prefer skin slapping on skin. That's much more fun than whacking the bush around a little bit, you know?
Hell yeah.
But, you know, I don't mind a little hair if it's nice and clean and trimmed. But if I'm eating ass, you better wax that shit. I'm just telling you, ladies, you need to part the sea, wax that shit, and get that thing out of there.
Amen. Amen.
I'll do it for the same for you, ladies.
Yeah, it's called common courtesy. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm a man-o-lantern.
Yeah, no, like, it's the fact that it's starting to make a comeback is, like, why? Like, fuck that. No.
So would you prefer a Hitler, a landing strip, a heart, a dolphin, just all gone? What do you prefer? Because some of the ladies do say that if you want it all gone, then you're a sicko because you're a pedophile. You want it to look like, you know, underage girls.
I think it's a matter of, like, tolerance, like, what I'll tolerate. It's like I'll tolerate from nothing at all to, like, very well kempt.
Okay.
But the minute it gets, like, one fucking single hair above very well maintained, like, I'll still have sex with her, but you know what I mean? Like, my desire to go down, like, greatly
diminishes.
Yes.
What if you're going down? What if you're going down and it's Sean Kempt? Are you still gonna get in there and eat that face? Because he wasn't a pretty guy.
Yes, but she has to have the lines, like, fucking razored in on the sides. Otherwise, it's a no go.
What about the eyebrows? They got match.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a no go. And some of that fucking gold chain.
Gold toothlesses. You ever eat a pussy with teeth in there, man? It's hard to get those dentures back out. Just saying.
No, thankfully, like, it hasn't gotten to that point yet. I'm not going to rule it out. I've seen me. I know what I'm capable of. So I'm not going to say it's a no. But as far as being able to cross it off the bucket list, I'm going to go and put it in the not yet column.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the times are changing. You know, you go back in the early 1900s and even before then, you know, girls didn't shave. You know, there were some tricks out there to thin the hair and do other things, but they did, for the most part, didn't shave. And you look at some of the original porn stag films that they had, because, you know, when you started doing pictures and when you started doing film, that's the first thing nasty dudes want to do is take pictures of girls. And I'm one of those nasty dudes. Anyway, as they progressed and got over, you can actually see the changeover. And there is an actual documentary about female naked bodies, not just female. I mean, I say female, but it's actually actors being naked in movies. And they go through the whole span of movie history, and not only females, but males. And some of these guys, some of these older guys, they had some big schlongs. I'll tell you what, man, I saw this video, this documentary. I'm impressed. You know, I don't remember their names off the top of my head. I didn't write them down, so I apologize. But what's his face from The Clockwork Orange? He has a big schlong. He does. And that's soft. So I'm impressed. Me, it looks more like a button, mushroom buttons. But, you know, when I get excited, I grow. So But you know, you look at the history and the progression of all this stuff, you know, nudity and sexuality. And one of the things that America is known for, notorious for, is religion, and how that scope has just shrunk our thought and our growth because of that. You go over to Europe and they don't give a fuck. Children are watching naked people. It's natural to see a naked person. And that's okay. But you know what? Right. I mean, Bush is Bush no matter where you go, except for in the White House. And it's just a taste of what you can put on your tongue.
And you're absolutely right about the whole, like, the European thing. Because when Fuck Checker and I were in Australia, like, it wasn't like a nude beach, but there were people that, like, fucking stripped down and nobody cared. Like, everybody was just walking, you know. It was like kids were there, adults, teenagers, whatever, and, like, you know, people were either topless or, like, fucking some of them, like, were fucking nude. But again, like, nobody gave a fuck. Nobody, like, stopped or fucking made a face. Like, you know, there was, like, fucking, you know, guys checking out the fucking naked chicks, but, like, that's about it though. And you know, it wasn't even like it would be like here, like staring and taking pictures and shit. It was just like, oh, look, there's a fucking another naked chick. Like, it happens every day. And so I think that as you get outside of the fucking boundaries of this, this fucking insanity, it, and by that, I mean, outside the borders of the US.
Yeah.
Things tend to fucking lighten up, and it's not like, it's not like it is here. Like, everything here, like, the slightest thing, everybody loses their shit over. And, you know, other countries, it's not like that. And it's, you know, and it's sad that it's gotten to this point. You know what I mean? It's like, fucking just kind of wanted to go away like a fucking unwelcome house guest, or a fucking, you know, somebody that, like, overstays their goddamn welcome.
Yeah, like an unshaved pussy.
Exactly.
Overstayed your welcome. I'm waxing that off.
Right, you had your moment. It's that your fucking revolution is dead.
Absolutely right. You know, things have got to change. And, you know, the first thing that's got to change is you women. You need to shave that shit. And expect it of your man. If you don't want a hairy set of balls touching your nose as you're going down on a shaft, ask him to shave them. That's the least you could do. A well-shorn set of ball sacks is the best, smoothest thing that rub up and down your legs.
Ask Dr. Evil.
And me.
So, speaking of overstaying their welcome, did you ever get that fucking house guest that you tell them, yeah, come down, like, stay as long as you need to, and they actually fucking stay as long as they need to?
They make themselves at home. I've never had that problem. I've been offered stays at friends' houses and family's houses, and I try my best not to overstay. One thing I do like to do is I constantly like to ask, not every minute, but daily, hey, are you okay with this? You need me to move out? Is there any complications, or do you need me to do anything for you? Like, buy groceries or make dinner or do something like clean the house. And most people, they do not do that. And they're just fucking leeches, like Ralphie May, in case when the story was broke, how he stayed at a house out here with that DJ. And he walked around in his fucking underwear that barely fit, nothing else on, going through his cabinets and just fucking eating Cheez-Its in his nasty, sweating ass, asking him, do you want some? Now the box is yours. Continue eating. I'm going to bed.
Oh, gross. I don't have, like, a lot of, like, fucking stories personally, but, like, because I don't really, like, chill. Like, if it was like everybody was gonna go to, like, one person's house for the weekend and everybody was bringing, like, the stash and the beers and whatever alcohol, and, like, we were gonna set up shop for, like, Friday night, Saturday, and then, like, either, you know, then party Saturday night, and then Sunday morning everybody goes the fuck home. So, like, I've only ever been in situations like that, but I never really stayed at anybody's house that I wasn't house sitting for more than, like, 2 days. Like, it's just,
right.
I always kind of just want to, like, get the fuck out of there and go, like, you know, it's like being on the road. I want to shower in my own shower. I want to sleep in my own bed. I want to watch my own goddamn TV. I want to eat my own fucking food. Like, You know what I mean? Like, it just...
But well, no, I don't, because I'm usually jerking off in their sheets and shitting in their oven and doing other things and waiting for them to come home so they can enjoy the smells.
Well, I mean, 2 days is a lot of time. I mean, if you hustle and hoof it like I did, you can squeeze all that shit in no time. Like, and they kept inviting me back. It's like, okay, like, who the fuck do you think is doing this?
Why do you think you awful stomp in my bathroom?
No. It was probably one of those other nasty motherfuckers. I'm glad I took a shower first. I was always the first to leave on Sunday morning, like fucking like 9:30. Everybody's still hungover. I'm still hungover. I'm like out of the house. Bye. I just blew up your bathroom and took a shower. I'm out. Peace, motherfucker.
Oh, by the way, you got problems with underwear gnomes in there. Yeah, I've never, you know, overstayed my welcome. I never tried to. I try to be a good house guest whenever I go anywhere. Not to say that I won't blow the shit out of your bathroom if ever I visit you. But,
you know. Thankfully, I got two, so that works. That works conveniently because, like, I fucking like the kids use one bathroom, and then me and the wife use the other one. So it's like, like when people come over, I'm like, no, don't go in there. That's where the animal shit. I'm like, go. The bathroom is over there in the hallway. And then when it's kids, I'm like, yep, bathroom's right there.
I'd be the one shitting on the lawn for you.
My mom came over. She's like, where the animal shit? And I'm like, I'll tell you later. She's like, she comes out of the bathroom. She's like, is that the kids' bathroom? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, she's all, that's terrible. I'm all, I know, that's why I told you to go use the other one. I'm like, I did you a favor, lady. Calm down.
They fling their poo. They do nasty things. Come on.
But I have heard of fucking, I have been privy to like plenty of stories of people that were like, that I knew that were either that guest or talking about that, or the fucking host that was talking about that guest. And so there was this one, I was like, one of my uncles, whatever, went to visit one of the cousins up north in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And so they told him, you know, go ahead and make yourself at home. And then later, like middle of the night, like fucking the wife comes out and the uncle's in his fucking boxers and fucking some black socks and just fucking like fucking bent over in the fridge, like looking, digging through shit, looking for food. And so then she tells her husband, hey, come and look at your fucking cousin. And he comes in there and he's like, yo, and he looks at him. He's all, his cousin just starts laughing his ass off and then just goes back to bed.
Well, you know, if you start doing that shit, they got squatters, right? So you got to be careful. Personally, I think that's a pretty good story because he could have been wearing a thong or a tee back there and it would have been 10 times worse.
He was a big dude, too. He wasn't like, he wasn't a skinny dude. So he had just boxers and his fucking socks.
European Speedo. Oh my gosh. He
pulls it away.
And so, you know, remember that story I said when I went to San Diego and I had that fucking Mexican food and I blew out that bathroom. My friend's sister walked in and any chance I had after she smelled that shit went out the door, because literally the front door was right there by the bathroom door. So the shit went out the door. But yeah, I overstayed my welcome after that. And I try not to stay too much longer in that house except to sleep. And I didn't have any more fucking tacos. And I assured his mom that I would not eat any more salsa. So...
Like when the kids have to stay at the hospital, they have to stay like, you know, overnight or more than a night. Like every time I got a shit, like we get lucky and we get a single. And so there's a bathroom in the room, but like, I'm still like, nah, it's okay. I'll go shit down the hall. Cause there's like not really a vent fan in there. And so every time the kid has to go to the bathroom, he has to pee in this fucking bucket so that they can measure it. So the fucking nurses now have to go in there and like, again, there's no vent fan.
What do they expect you to do, man? I mean, goddamn.
I just used the one in the hallway.
it reminds me of the scene in Dumb and Dumber when Lloyd gets the chocolate bar melted in his back pocket and gets chocolate on the walls. He starts smearing it everywhere, puts it on the ceiling and everything, and then Bob Saget comes in. Jesus Christ! Yeah, put shit all over my walls! They're all over my ceiling! There's shit everywhere! Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, it's just like shit like that was fucking like I always found really fucking hilarious. Just like there's a point to like make yourself at home, but like let's not get carried away. Like there's no way I need to see you in boxers. We're not that fucking close.
You know, on that note, you know, I actually went in to get a colonoscopy at 40. And yeah, that was a riveting thing. And as much as I rude as I can be and as nasty as I think and say things, I really am pretty much a nice person. You know, I try not to go overly and fart in somebody's face or just be rude in general. And one of those times was when after the colonoscopy, they make you fart. You have to flatulate. And the reason for this is they want to make sure that, you know, your sphincter's working, that the gas pockets, because they blow air up and you're basically a fucking blowfish. And they want to make sure that gets out, because if it doesn't, it'll cause internal issues with your intestines and your colon. So I'm still strung up on the drugs they got me. They're telling me to fart. My wife's right there saying, you need to fart. I'm like, I'm not farting in front of a lady. And my wife's all, you farted plenty of times in front of me. No, I'm talking about the nurse. And she'll just fart. Just let them know I ain't doing it. I fought this for an hour. I held this farting for an hour on drugs. And finally, the nurse goes, look, if I put my ear to the door, will you fart? I'm like, I guess you're not going to let me go. She's like, nope, I ain't farting though. And she goes, you're the longest holdout we've had. I go into the bathroom. I know she's got her ear on the door because I could see her toes skirting underneath the door. And I just let a monster fart. I'm like, okay, all right. I thought I had to take a dump. You're right. I had a fart. And it was over and done with. And they didn't have a fan. And it reeked. It didn't just reek in the bathroom. It fucking reeked in the fucking the waiting room for everybody else that had a colonoscopy.
So one time I'm in the car with fucking my ex-wife and my ex-sister-in-law, and they were both getting on my fucking nerves, and we fucking pull up by this nursery where it's like it smells like how many were already. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the fuck I ate at lunch, but that fucking gas was rough. It was rough outside. And so fucking I let one go in the car because like they had the windows up and the air conditioning going. And they're like, oh my God, it fucking stinks. I'm like, well, yeah, we're driving right by that fucking nursery with all the fucking manure and shit. And they're like, oh, that's fucking terrible. I'm like, roll the window down a little. She's like, no, it's going to make it worse. I'm like, oops, too late. And I put it back up and I'm like, yeah, sorry about that. But I had, in all actuality, I had to fucking roll the window down because I was starting to gag a little bit. It was bad. And I was like, well, fuck, I need to breathe. Okay, resume assholery. And so this fucking thing went on and we got past. I'm like, can we just roll the windows down for a little bit to let some of the smell out that I fucking accidentally let in? And they're like, okay, yeah. So they roll down the windows. It fucking airs out the car for the most part. Because when we got back in, it still kind of smelled like it a little bit. And we were out of the car for a good 45 minutes. They took me furniture shopping of all places. So I was away from where they were at. But I was, like, fucking dropping ass where there was nobody there. So by the time we left, a lot of that fucking store smelled like fucking fart.
Hey, when did fertilizer start smelling like enchilada sauce?
Right? Man, I had no idea what I ate, but I was like, ooh, I wish I kept track because I don't ever want to fucking eat that again.
So growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, I learning how to drive at 16, Honda Prelude, and the first time I drove a vehicle with auto lock windows and doors. Need I say more? I was in control.
I like where this is going.
And it was not good control because my sphincter was letting out and I was fucking ripping some shit tamales, man. Oof. Lock the windows, lock the doors, lock the moon sunroof. Nobody could do nothing except smell and waft and bask in my ambience.
There was many a time when fucking Mixit did that to me and our other brother. Like he would fucking, he was driving and like, we could always tell when he was fucking beat, when he was doing it. He was beat, like, because the fucking, like, he'd have the fucking air conditioning on, and then, like, he would fucking, like, you hear the doors lock, and then the fucking, you hear the click on his side for the fucking window lock, and then he would just start laughing, like, fucking out of nowhere, just, like, busting up hard. And, like, after, like, the fucking second or third time, we're like, oh, you fucking asshole. And yeah, like fucking gas chambered us a bunch of fucking times, like waiting for nice long road trips and fucking like let them fly. I'm like, you're a dick. All right, the brothers start beating the shit out of him. Like, hurt, roll the fucking window down. I'm gonna puke on you.
Good times at the OK Corral, man. Shit.
Oh my god, he did that one time when we were on a road trip and there was a friend in the car and the fucking friend was like asleep and then all of a sudden it wakes up going, roll the fucking window down.
It smells like fucking burnt eggs, baby throw up, and Chinese food.
Oh man, and it was like the fucking worst timing because like going up north from LA to San Francisco. There's like not too much in between once you get to a certain point, but there's a lot of cow farms. And right. So, like, and onion fields.
So you're taking 99 up through Modesto and all that?
The 5 straight up, the 5 north.
Oh, you're taking the 5. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, you still got those.
Cuts up by, like, Harris Ranch and stuff like that. So you're smelling cows, cow manure, and onions, like, fucking growing. And that shit is, like, when onions grow, it smells like farts growing out of the ground. Yep. Like, it's horrible. So that's the fucking point in the trip. Where fucker decides to lock the windows and fucking gas chamber everybody. And so then when we're right in the middle of it, he's like, all right, fuckers. And he unlocks the windows and everybody puts it down and it's fucking fart inside and fart outside the car. Yeah.
Fucking nasty
motherfucker. That's why his drinks are so good. He's making up for some of those fucking trips.
Just keep in mind, if you ever have any of those trips in the future in the 70s, when you're 70 years old, you'll probably do the same thing.
Right?
See, I grew up in Southern California up there, so I know exactly what you smell, man. I mean, dairy farms galore, orange groves everywhere, you know, all sorts of fucking different things. And the smells in the air sometimes were not good.
No, dude, and like people don't get that shit. Like that's why like fucking the farmers that work those fucking fields and pick that shit, like they should get double because like you literally are smelling farts all day long. Like, and it's bad in the summer driving up through there. It's like 110, 115 and like hot ass outside the car, hot ass inside the car. I'm a little scarred. I sometimes wake up in a cold sweat. And I really thought our friend in the back was going to puke. I was like just waiting to hear.
Wake up, daddy. No.
Yeah, that was a horrible way to fucking wake up. You know what I mean? Like fucking one time Fuck Checker was mad at me and like fucking woke up in the morning first and had gas and fucking Dutch oven and then like got out of bed and put the covers back, but like over my head and then like fucking went out about her day. That was a rough way to wake
up.
It was a rough way to wake up. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like wondering for a second. I was like, fuck, was that me?
Mr. Mixer, kick your ass.
I was like, fuck, was that me? Like, for the first like 15 minutes of the day, like wondering, like, did I Dutch oven myself? Like,
in case anybody is asking the question, yes, that's why he wakes and bakes now.
Just get rid of the smell.
Oh my gosh, man.
I liked one of the things that he talked about in his latest, I think his last stand-up, the latest body of work. Obviously not his latest stuff, because his latest stuff is a few years old now. I'm not real hopeful that any more is going to come out. So instead of holding my breath, maybe talk a little bit about something that he talked about. And it was like how people were like getting like really sensitive. And it started when, you know, towards the end for him. And it's something that it's continued to trend on. You know, we talked about it earlier. And so in the types of humor that you couldn't have anymore, previous episodes, we talked about like a movie that you couldn't make anymore because people would lose their shit. The Toy, with Richard Pryor. So, you know, given that we said we weren't going to care and it was going to be the Ralphie May episode and we're going to do this. So we prepared a list of some of these fucking movies that, you know, really wouldn't fly. And so we're going to go ahead and run the gauntlet on these. So Big O, go ahead and get the ball rolling.
We affectionately call this a changeover. What if we were watching a movie that we laugh, we love, and we enjoy, and it's changed over to a different thought or a different mindset or a different ethnicity? One of the thoughts that we came up was, you know, The Fly with Brendel Fly, you know, that's always been fun. Jeff Goldblum. What if it was The Black Fly? What exactly is that fly on? Is he on some chicken and watermelon? I have a lot of black friends that like chicken and watermelon. Nothing wrong with that. But what would the black fly do?
He gets out and goes into it, leaves the house and goes into a Cadillac.
Hey, dog, yo, you gonna spit on that little bit of sugar cube? Give that to me.
The crack rock.
Yeah, and then he goes down to the corner to make sure that bitch got his money.
Slapping hoes like a motherfucker. That'd be the title of the catchphrase for the movie, The Black Fly. Slapping hoes like a motherfucker.
Does Wayne Brady gotta smack a bitch? It would be the perfect black fly.
All right, that was a good one to get the ball rolling. Yeah. All right.
On that note, you know, one of the best movies out there made millions of dollars. It was just a big theatrical release back in the 90s. The Titanic. But what if it was the Mexican Titanic?
It should be a fucking fishing boat.
On the Rio Grande, right?
Right. Goddamn raft.
Yeah, and if it capsizes, oh, Raul, save me. No, bitch. I'm the only one swimming across here.
And it's like, save me, bitch, stand up.
Throws a chancla at her head and she goes under. And it's not even cold water. It's warm water. So it's just like, you know, she gets to the other side anyway. And then they have that awkward stare and then separate.
That would be a fucking crossover kung fu flick that I would like to see. Instead of the fatal flying guillotine, the fatal flying chancla. And it's a story about somebody's grandmother.
It's got razor blades on the bottom of the chancla and severs heads off. You know, we probably could make that swing and get a green light there in Hollywood.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody cares if they make fun of us. They're not like fucking, it's all about fucking making fun of black people. It's not okay right now.
Yeah. Universal Studios is listening to our podcast diligently and writing this shit down. Because you know what's next? The Fast and Furious rickshaw.
That's what that Tokyo Drift one. They could have just changed that name. The Tokyo.
Yeah, but Drift. That was Japan though. The rickshaw's in China, so. And now they war on each other all the time, so I don't think it would have worked if they would have crossed nationality border there.
That made it even funnier. All the more fucking insulting.
Oh God. So that thought, there was a meme out there where they took the horse from the bachelor party with Tom Hanks when he snorts up all the cocaine and everything and then fucking keels over. Except after he's done snorting the cocaine and everything and taking the Quaaludes, it cuts to another scene where it shows a freaking donkey running 100 miles an hour down the freeway with two guys on a pull cart, flat flat pull cart holding on for dear life as this thing's racing through the fucking freeway. That's where the idea for Fast and Furious Rickshaw came from.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. What about one of the timeless classics, right? The Indiana Jones trilogy, right?
Right.
Okay. What if it was Tijuana Jose and the Raiders of the Underground Border Pass? He gets underground, and now he's got the golden idol that he has to swap out, right, so he can open up the door to get across to the U.S. border.
The fat guy trips and starts rolling down the stairs at him, and he's hauling ass with his fucking fat ass. It's all greased up from chilaquiles and the fucking and whatever chili that he's sweating out is fucking propelling him down the stairs.
Oh, and it's Ralphie May. Yo, Mexican, get the fuck out of America. I'm going to travel your ass.
That would be a good one. Or like, you know, like you said, classics, like you said, like would have like Black Scrooge, the Ghost of Deadbeat's Past or some shit, you know, like something relatable.
Yeah. Hey, how much for the chicken down there, kid? It's $1.50. $1.50. That's too much. I got a quarter. Go get me a chicken wing.
That reminds me of one of the Twitter feeds that we read about Ralphie May, the fucking, he's the only angel that got chicken wings.
Not angel wings. That motherfucker loves him some chicken wings. So, you know, suspenseful movies too. You know, Tom Hanks was in a lot of great movies, but one of his best acting moments in his career was Philadelphia. So why not Chinese Philadelphia? Why not Philadelphia? Except he doesn't have AIDS because that's already been done. But he did drink batwing soup in Wuhan, and now he's got the COVID. Oh, you can't treat me like this just because I eat batwing soup? You got to give me chance.
He was paid. It's a movie about patient zero.
Who the fuck is a patient zero? I just like a batwing soup. Oh, my gosh. You know, and then we go back to the 80s. You know, there's lots of great movies out there. And one of the movies that really sticks out in my mind that I loved, you know, Howie Mandel did a voice for this character. And it stuck in my head because, you know, it was just so lovable. But what if we change that around from Gremlins to now the Oaxacans?
Now instead of fucking don't feed him after midnight, it's like don't give him tequila after midnight.
Don't give him a churro. Don't give him tamales. And when they get drunk, man, they do look like those evil gremlins too. And they're small. But don't tell any Oaxacan I ever said that because they get mad. Oh, man. I could totally see that in a fucking bar down below the border there. The Oaxacans getting all drunk past midnight and fucking causing a stir, shooting guns around. Yeah, that sounds about right, though, right?
You get a movie called Last of the Oaxacans. It opens. You see the title screen, the movie, you know, title shows. And it... And then it cuts to another screen that just says, thank God. And then cuts to another screen that says, the end.
But unfortunately, it's not the last of them.
Not the way they were fucking reproducing. They're fucking rabbits.
On that note, in a more more closer facet, there was a great movie that only cost this director and actor... I think it was like $40,000. It might have been a little bit more. But Kevin Smith, his first debut movie, Clerks. Clerks. But, you know, we've already played this out in other movies, but it would be its own movie. Instead of Clerks, it would be Quickie Marts. And we can bring back our perennial greats from Encino Man in the Quickie Mart. 2 minutes.
Yeah. Man, that would be awesome. Yeah, a whole fucking, the whole cast is just fucking all Indian people, the ones that work, actually work at fucking the Quick Stops.
Yeah. Oh, figures, Rajesh Nyanish. It's all hot on the outside and cold in the middle.
2 minutes.
Best scene ever. No, it's the juice.
Yeah. No, we's in the juice.
We's juice. I love that. He was such a great actor.
He was. And then, or the dude that was, I know he's not Indian, but like fucking Pakistani, close enough. And that was in fucking the 40-year-old virgin talking about the rusty trombones and the fucking Cincinnati bow ties. And
life's not about butthole pleasures and pussy cunnilingus.
That guy.
Rusty trombones. You know, you have to love the woman. Kiss the flower.
Yeah, they would definitely have to have that guy in there. And that would be fucking great. Maybe he could play Jay.
You are not to have the slushies. You got to enjoy the stuff around you, like the beef jerkies. Yeah, that'd be good, man. Just mix it up. Think of your own movies out there and what would it be like to share with all the ethnicities and change it around to the Mexicans, to the whites, to the blacks, to everybody.
Right. Make it all inclusive, because that's what comedy's about. Like fucking everybody's in for the shit. So like fucking get used to it. It happens to everybody and it's fucking hilarious. So learn to laugh at yourself.
Yeah, a bunch of POCs.
Right. All right, guys. Well, we are coming up on our time for this episode. So we are going to be back with a bunch more before we close out the season. And then we're going to go into our little break. But before then, look for a bunch more content coming out on our social media. All the links are down below. And so go ahead, pop on over, check out our, you know, check out all the funny memes, the videos, some of the cannabis reviews, and we'll be around. All right. So until next time.
Remember, if 2020's got you down like a big shit on your crown, just look for a pick-me-up with a little rice and beans in your cup.